Hello, everyone. We have a small group in the sanctuary tonight. Usually we have around, 33 people for this particular teaching, but we're at a different time, and that may have made a difference. However, I think we're making up for it because of the people in the room. So we still have about the same size audience as always. But welcome to Gentle Healing. We're going to do this a little differently tonight because usually gentle healing is 2 hours. We're not going to do 2 hours tonight. What I'm going to do is a couple of short teachings. One teaching is going to be based on the homework, primarily the reading that we did in NTI, which was NTI 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 8. And then I'm going to share with you from In the World But Not Of It by Gina Lake. And it's kind of funny because some of us have been with Gina Lake for the last few days, and I noticed that because I had been with her when I was reading the book, I heard it in her voice in my head. You know, I could hear her voice. So I'm just going to jump right in. By the way, I know you guys, everybody's in silence here, but if you guys want to, when I say three, go ahead and shout a hi to those who are listening. You ready? One, two, three.
Hi!
And there we go. but we are in silence here. We're having an intensive self-inquiry retreat. So that's what's going on here in Colorado Springs today. So I am, as I said, I'm just going to jump right in. So I am opening up to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to review a few things that to me were highlights from our reading this week. Starting at the bottom of page 287, it says, "The ego is still within your mind, and it may seem to persist for some time. This is not to be cause for concern for you, but it is to be acknowledged, and you are to remain aware. For if you do not remain aware and alert to the ego in your mind, you may forget to question your thinking and believe you are listening to me when you are not. If you remember and remain aware of the ego in your mind, you can continuously question your thinking and seek for the reason you hold." So obviously what this is alluding to is that what happens on the spiritual path is that people become overconfident too quickly. At some point, people kind of get this idea that they've got it now. And once they think they have it now, they cease to be as vigilant as they were when they felt like they were learning. And as a result of ceasing to be vigilant, the ego is able to come back and regain command and control in their mind. And in fact, unfortunately, this has happened to a lot of teachers. There are a lot of spiritual teachers who, you know, you could really say reached a certain level of clarity and awareness. And then again, they got that feeling, I got it now. And they cease to be the student. And because they cease to be the student, because they cease to practice the vigilance that got them to the level of clarity that they realized, they actually start to backslide without knowing it. They have all these blind spots, which sometimes their students can see, but they can't see, right? So it's really important that we remain the student, is what this is saying. No matter how much we seem to awaken, that we also simultaneously always remain the student. Moving on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What NTI 1 Corinthians is talking about is becoming the empty shell. The empty shell is one who does not hold on to any thoughts of her own. So that doesn't mean that thoughts don't come into the mind. It just means, as the Course would say, there are none that you would keep. So it's a matter of recognizing the thoughts as nothing but a thought stream, as something that is passing by, You know, kind of like a movie or a marquee, I think some of you here at the retreat mentioned today, a marquee running by. The error is to see them as my thoughts, my thinking. I know it seems that way, but it is not true. Thoughts appear in the mind from, you could call it the script. It's an easy way to call it. If thoughts appear in the mind from the script, it's like one of those things. What is it that the president, a prompter, teleprompter. It's literally like your teleprompter. You know, you're being fed your lines, but they're the lines for the ego, you. They're the lines for the false self. They're not your thoughts, and you're not the false self. Therefore, even though the thoughts are showing up, you can totally disregard them. That's being the empty shell, and that's what NTI 1 Corinthians is recommending. In fact, it says here, that which has opened itself to the Spirit of God by becoming as an empty shell has made a statement unto the mind that is its own. It has said, I know I am not this thing I thought I was, as this thing cannot be my truth. So I put aside that which is false, that I may be open to receive only that which is true. Moving on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to highlight what's at the bottom of the page on page 289, verses 16 to 23. It says, remember your true self as I have taught it to you. You are eternal and beyond limits of any kind. And then notice your awareness as it seems to be to you. If you do not know yourself as limitless and beyond all fear, you maintain a belief that you are what you are not. Therefore, do not take off in your own way, as your way is still illusion. Follow my way, that you may be led from illusion. So again, if you do not know yourself, it's absolutely limitless and beyond all fear, then surrender is a really good idea, is what this is saying. Because if you're not surrendered, you are just listening to the false self. If you do not know yourself as absolutely limitless and beyond all fear, remain in surrender. Those are pretty simple instructions, I think. You know, that's pretty easy to follow. So that's what NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is about. These are very short chapters, by the way. Each one's like, you know, a page long. So I can just like highlight a main point and move on. So moving on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this paragraph. I love, love, love this paragraph. Do not make the mistake of believing that an empty shell is something other than me. It is not. It is only me. This is possible because it is an empty shell and no one else. So what this means is whenever you are not in thought, whenever you are in presence, you are what the Course in NTI calls the Holy Spirit. You literally are it. And most people just, there's something in the mind that doesn't let us accept that, doesn't let us claim that. I don't know, you know, what we want to imagine presence or Holy Spirit or awareness or consciousness is, but there's something that makes us want to imagine that it's something other than what I could ever be, if that makes any sense, right? So even when you're having the experience of it, the mind wants to deny it. This is saying when you are not in thought, right? Which isn't much of the time for most people, granted. But when you are not in thought, you are me. And, you know, sometimes you can really experience that. I know that one times that I experience it very, very easily is in nature. When I'm in nature, I can be absolutely thoughtless quite easy. And when I am in nature and I am absolutely thoughtless, I have experiences that are absolutely incredible. Like, first of all of the colors are more vibrant. Everything is my peer. A weed blowing in the wind is my peer, right? Absolutely equal and the same as me. That is presence. And that comes about because we let go of thinking. Walking through the same outdoor area, thinking, you know, you're not in presence. So learning to appreciate whatever is around, learning to be in your current moment, and really learning to ground yourself in experience without thought is being present. One other thing that's in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, I am not coercive upon you because I am your truth. Therefore, I can wait in peace and patience for you to recognize me. I can wait as long as you seem to be willing to wait. But know this, even your desire to wait comes from the delusion that you are what you are not. And that's kind of an interesting point. You know, if we feel that we're not ready for awakening in some way, doesn't that mean that we think we're the false self? Right? That's what this is saying. You know, even your desire to wait comes from the delusion that you are what you are not. You're simply identifying with the false self. That's why all we're talking about is awakening to you. So what is it in you that makes you not want to awaken to you? Think about it. It's a little bit crazy, right? It's identification with the false self, which is identification with thinking. Moving on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is talking about the fact that there are some thoughts that are helpful thoughts in the world. It says, there are thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion, and those are ego thoughts. But there are also thoughts that lead you from illusion, and those are what is called the Holy Spirit's thoughts, or those are helpful thoughts. And right here at the retreat, we've been experiencing some of those thoughts as inquiries. Some of the inquiries we're looking at is, who is here now? What is here now? Who am I? What am I? Do you guys agree those are all thoughts? Right? They're all thoughts. But those thoughts are helpful thoughts because those thoughts are pointing in the direction of truth. So some people make the mistake of thinking that all thought is bad. And actually, bad isn't even true of the ego. It's not that the ego is bad. It's just that it's not true, right? But there are some thoughts that are actually helpful thoughts pointing towards our truth. And discernment is learning the difference between those thoughts that are helping you to awaken and those thoughts that are keeping you attached to the false self. So, for example, if someone is talking and your mind is chattering and then you get this thought, just pay attention, that's actually a thought that's bringing you into presence, right? That's a helpful thought. So there are certainly thoughts that are helpful, and that's the main point of NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5. However, I like this thing that NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 5 ends with. It says, do not worry about your brother's thought, for the thought you think he thinks is a thought within your mind. So what that means is if I think, oh, Lisa is, well, actually she looks pretty positive right now. So Lisa thinks that this is a great teaching. Lisa thinks I'm doing a really good job. Who's thinking that? I am. And see, people do this all the time. They think what they think other people are thinking, and they totally project the thought over there, right? And they don't notice it's their own thought, and because they don't notice it's their own thought, they don't let go of it. You know, here's what Rebecca thinks. Rebecca thinks it's way too late for this, and she wishes I would shut up now so she could go to bed. Who's thinking that? right? So that's what this is pointing out. Be aware that just because you think you know what somebody else is thinking, all that's really happening is you're seeing what's in your own mind, right? Those are your thoughts. So notice those thoughts. They're ego thoughts. Let those thoughts go. Don't hold on to them under the guise, the disguise, that they are somebody else's thoughts. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 6 asks, do you disagree with your brother? Do you find that thought there? If you can find even an inkling of this thought within your mind, then you believe in division. An empty shell will not hold this thought because an empty shell is empty of all thoughts that are not of mine. Empty your mind of all disagreements. Become willingly an empty shell. Now, this is a pretty interesting teaching because it doesn't have any conditions. It doesn't say, well, you know, some disagreements are really important and you should take a stand. It doesn't say that. It says empty your mind of all disagreements. And, you know, if you think about it, again, if we're just getting black and white about this, you're either in presence or you're an ego and there's no in between, which is the truth, right? Which one is going to be disagreeing on anything? Ego. On anything. Presence is just the open acceptance observance of what is, right? Presence isn't going to disagree on anything. And again, humans get very, very caught up in this because there are certain things that we think are important. You know, maybe it's politics, maybe it's the environment, maybe it's child abuse, pet abuse, sexual slavery, you know, whatever. There are some things that are so important we have to take a stand. That's really just the ego's way of keeping us caught. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. So again, empty your mind of all disagreements. This is true. If what you want is awakening, if what you want to know is your truth, that's why you would follow this suggestion, right? It also says an empty shell has let go of false desires, which is any desire but the desire to awaken. False desires, untrue beliefs, and concepts in support of the world and fear. It says the empty shell holds only to its casing, which is trust. It's just trust, right? It's not trusting anything specific. It's just an attitude of trust. All is well, all of the time. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Recommends practice. And what it's really pointing out here is that, you know, you want to keep practicing being the empty shell. Most of us are not going to just decide we want to no longer be attached to thoughts and then boom, it's done. It'd be great if it was that easy, but it's just not. So we have to keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. But what this is saying, there's actually a helpful way to practice and an unhelpful way to practice. It says the helpful way to practice is to let thoughts and emotions rise up out of your shell. Think of your body as your shell for a moment, up out of your shell. And what that means is, for example, if I see this idea that I'm guilty, you know, I did something wrong in my opinion, and I am guilty. Well, what this is really referring to is I just want to allow that feeling of guilt and to continue to allow that feeling of guilt and continue to allow that feeling of guilt until it dissipates on its own. That's what it means by rising up, right? But what most people do is they push it back down. They repress it. They try and deny it. They try and project it. Well, I did it because she told me to, right? It's all her fault. And that pushes it back down in the shell. So obviously, I think we all know this, we cannot heal through repression. And so it's recommending that we allow ourselves to feel these feelings without believing the thoughts, of course. We all know this as rest, accept, and trust, right? We rest the mind, which means don't believe the thoughts. We accept the emotion, which means let it be until it dissipates on its own. And we trust that this is healing, right? It does say that you will probably make mistakes and do a lot of repression before you get the hang of that. And it basically says, do not worry, there will be more opportunities to practice. We all know that's true, right? It says, each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear, and each thought that expresses a wish, what if this were different than it is, and each thought that interprets anything in the world as if it was true, all of these thoughts are false thoughts that need to be let go of. And if you really listen to that, just those four things, I think it covers a lot of stuff. First of all, each thought that speaks of unworthiness, whether it's yours or someone else's, each thought that speaks of guilt, whether it's yours or someone else's, each thought that speaks of fear, each thought that expresses the wish that I wish this was different than it is right now, and each thought that interprets anything in the world as true, all of these are to be let go of. That's quite a list. That's a list worth writing down and like hanging on the refrigerator or something. You know, that covers pretty much everything. All of these thoughts are to be let go of. And then that moves me to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 8. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, when you do not seem to know how to become an empty shell, it's because you're focusing on your head, or better said, your thinking mind. Your thinking mind will not teach you how not to think. Your thinking mind is interested in its own survival, so it will take the time you give it to think some more. So what that really means is when the mind is spinning and spinning and spinning over something, you're like, oh my God, how can I let go of this? If you're saying, oh my God, how can I let go of this at the level of mind, it's just going to spin and spin and spin about that, right? Then what it recommends is that you drop to the heart, or what we could call that is shift to the right mind. You need to initiate a shift within yourself. And there are different ways to initiate a shift within yourself. But what NTI primarily recommends as a way to initiate a shift within yourself is pause and remember what you really, really want. What's most important to you. For example, what might be spinning in your head could be your husband is a gambler. Once again, he gambled away the paycheck before he came home. Well, I mean, this has been a problem for years. You're barely surviving. You know, your house is going to be taken away any day now. And once again, he went to the track and came home with nothing. And your mind is spinning and spinning because, you know, you want to pay those bills, don't you? You want him to quit gambling, don't you?
And then Kathy is asking, can you speak to right reason here?
Okay, in a moment. Let me finish this now. Now I forget the role I'm on. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, so you want to, pay the bills. You want him to quit gambling, right? As long as you stay in that, which sounds logical to most people, as long as you stay in that, you're also going to stay in ego. So you have to shift. You have to remember what you really want. Truth. Awakening. Even more than paying the bills. Even more than him quitting gambling. When you can remember what you really want, then you shift into the right mind, right? And then you will access spiritual intuition. You cannot access spiritual intuition. You cannot access guidance from, I want to pay the bills and I want him to quit gambling, right? And so that's what this is talking about. Now, let's see. Kathy is asking about right reason. I know I read that in here somewhere, but right this second, I don't know where. But right reason is reasoning with the Holy Spirit, or reasoning with the right mind instead of reasoning with the wrong mind. Right? So reasoning with the right mind then might be something like choosing rest, accept, and trust. Reasoning with the right mind might be something like choosing patience and trusting that all is well. Reasoning with the right mind might be something like choosing not to do anything out of fear, to wait until you return to sanity before making a decision. Right? This is all reasoning with the right mind. Does that answer your question, Kathy? Yes. Okay, good, good, good. All right. And actually, let's see. I'm done. Woo-hoo, done with 1 Corinthians. We have another book here. Are there any other questions from the sanctuary based on our reading in 1 Corinthians before I move on to my reading in the world but not of it? All right, then. I'm shifting gears pretty quickly tonight. What we're looking at in the world but not of it fits very, very well not only with the gentle healing group, but with the self-inquiry experiment, which is the name of this retreat, because what this is talking about is how to stay in presence, how to stay in presence and not return to ego. One of the first pieces of advice that Gina gives about staying in presence is moving slowly. And if anybody's ever practiced moving slowly, you might know that that is extremely helpful. The minute you start rushing around, somehow the ego seems to get activated. One thing that I've noticed, because I live a very busy life, I know many of you live a very busy life, and when you have a very busy life, there is a temptation to rush around. You got a lot of stuff to get done. Really, what you need to do is just remain focused on the one thing you're doing now as if it's the only thing in the world, right? And then when you finish the one thing you're doing now, then you go to the next thing. But you don't want to be thinking about the entire to-do list, because that's just going to put you in ego, right? This is what I'm doing now. Focus on it. When I'm done, the next thing. Just do one thing at a time and trust. Remain in trust that whatever you get to today is what you were meant to get to today. And whatever you don't get to today is going to be fine. And the funny thing is, that's actually true. It's not even just trust, but because your mind doesn't trust it, you have to trust it. But that's always, always going to be true, right? That's just the way it is. But if you can stay in more of a slow state, both in mind and body, then you're more likely to stay in presence. As soon as you start rushing around, trying to get everything done, as you can see the franticness. You're going to move into ego. So that is her first tip. She then goes into, I'll just briefly mention this, she then just talks a little bit about the difference between doing in ego and doing in presence. She says when you're doing in presence, that you're actually in the flow. You are being moved. And you'll have the experience of being moved in that you will feel relaxed, at ease, without problems, and content. So even if you're, quote, solving a problem, right, you're working on a challenge, you still have the feeling of relaxed, at ease, without problems, and content. This problem, quote, that you're working on, this is just what's here now, and this is just what I'm doing now, right? It has that whole feeling of okayness, all is well. When you're an ego, she says, you don't feel any of those things. You don't feel relaxed. You don't feel at ease. You don't feel without problems, which means you feel like you have problems, and you don't feel content. And in fact, the most common word we put on that nowadays is stress. Yeah, she's saying it back there with me. She knows the feeling. Yeah, it's stress. Absolutely. So as soon as you feel stress, you have shifted into ego. Remember, ego is about the thinking. As soon as you feel stress, pause and look at your mind. What are you thinking? Right? That's where the ego is. You know, there may be some thought in there that you're not going to get this done on time and somebody else is going to, you know, not respect you or something, right? What thought is in there that is the ego that is causing your feeling of stress? You know, and then just take a deep breath, remember that it's not true, anything the ego says is not true. Shift back into, this is the only thing that I am doing right now. Shift back into that slow, focused state, and then continue what you were doing, right? It's really that easy. It's just a matter of choosing that habit instead of choosing to stay in the habit of stress, thinking that stress is normal. Here are some tips that Gina gives for whenever you shift into ego, for shifting back into presence. And actually, these tips, I think, go in order. Like, it's really a process. The first step is just stop whatever you're doing. Pause. You know, just stop. So you're in the middle of getting some work done. You notice you're all under stress. You're totally in ego. Just stop for a moment. She says, take at least one deep breath. And then she says, more or better. But, you know, just stop, pause, take a deep breath. Next, she says, notice your surroundings. You know, I hear a fan coming from this right here. I notice the air is a little bit cool. Do you see what's happening? What's happening right now? Shifting into presence, right? And then she says, after you notice your surroundings, notice your body. Oh, my legs are crossed. You know, I can feel, you know, what else do I feel? Well, I hear the ringing in my ears. I can feel my one foot against the ground, my legs. See, just stop, pause, notice your surroundings, notice your body. And then she says, notice what's noticing. Right? What's noticing this feeling of one leg on top of the other? Now I'm shifting into awareness, aren't I? I'm shifting even further back. And then she says, notice the experience of presence. In other words, stay with the noticing what's noticing and notice this is my current experience. This is who I am. Now you can do all of that in probably less than a minute. Right? As you get more and more practice, probably 10, 15 seconds to shift out of ego into presence. And then again, you return yourself to what you were doing. If that's what feels true, what feels right. If you realize what you're doing was totally ego and shouldn't even have been done, then just drop it, right? Like maybe you were yelling at your husband and now you can just drop it. Right? So, but assuming it was something that needed to be done, now just return back to it in presence. So again, that was stop whatever you are doing. Take at least one deep breath. More is better. Notice your surroundings. Then notice your body, maybe even your breathing. Then notice what's noticing. And then notice the experience of being in presence. How easy is that? Right? How easy is that? But it's just that we don't do it. Do you want to say something, Barbara?
Well, I understand that. But
it's not in our culture. Wouldn't it be cool if we taught just this in school? We don't even have to get into spirituality, just how to, you know, we could just call it how to remain cool, right? Yeah, it's just not there. Yeah, how to remain cool, right? We don't even have to use spiritual terms. Just, right? Yeah, just, okay, so. Again, she reminds us that once we return to whatever we are doing, assuming that's what we do, to stay in that slower, more attentive pace. Because if we start speeding up again, we're going to go right back to ego again. She also points out, and we all know this is true, that egos activate other egos. And in fact, she gives us a list of how egos activate other egos. One thing that egos do is they state an opinion to elicit an opinion. And if you have tried giving up opinions, you know how challenging it is. Especially in a social environment, when everybody else starts expressing their opinion of the current president or their opinion of, right, then there's something in you that just just has to jump in there. That's because egos activate other egos. And what she wants us to do is learn to hold our own in presence, even when that's happening. So like when someone starts expressing opinions and we can feel that in us wanting to express the opinion, what we do is we watch what's happening in us. Right? You become the observer. You notice how badly you want to say this. You notice maybe this tightening that's happening, and you just pay attention to your own experience. Does that sound familiar, guys? Right? Rather than giving your opinion. You keep your mouth shut, but your eyes, your attention focused on what's happening within you. And that will allow you to stay in presence. Because even when you're watching, your strong desire to jump in the conversation, if you're watching that strong desire to jump in the conversation, you're in presence, right? The watching is presence. Another way that egos activate egos is that egos tell stories about what happened to them. You know, this is what happened to me. And then everybody else wants to jump in with their story, right? And whenever we jump in with a story about what happened to me, we are reinforcing the false self. We're reinforcing the idea that I am that me. So again, the answer is the same. You watch your desire to tell a story. You just stay in presence, watch yourself, watch how much you want to jump in that conversation, but again, stay quiet. Now it's funny because if you're listening to me, I'm telling you to stay quiet, right? Twice now I've told you to stay quiet. What this means is when you're in presence, you get quieter. You are not as social. And do you know what most people think about that? You're a very nice person. They don't really care whether you talk. They want you to listen. You think they want to hear you talk. Actually, the whole time you're talking, they're just thinking about what they're going to say next when you shut up. Right? It's true. Right? They don't care. Your mind's going to tell you that you have to express an opinion or you have to tell a story or they're going to think. They don't even notice, most people. They won't even notice. They'll just go right on and you sit there being in presence, right? Egos complain. They share their likes and their dislikes. And, of course, then you're supposed, oh, my back hurts too, right? You're supposed to jump right in there and be a part of the party. Once again, the solution is the same. You keep quiet. Notice your desire to jump in and join the complaining party, right? Oh, this one is an obvious one. Egos judge others. And egos love, we all know this, to talk about whoever's not there now, right? Isn't that true? How many people have never done that? Oh, yeah. We have two liars in the room. Yeah, absolutely. We've all done that. That's the ego. We know that's the ego. We know that's the ego. So when we see that desire, and other people may be doing it, and we're not going to judge them for doing it either. We just, again, want to shut up and watch our desire to join the conversation. Just be still and watch. And then the last one she has listed here is, egos love to give unsolicited advice. And that is so true. That is so, we love to, quote, help each other. Let me tell you, Ken, you know what, Ken, you should have sat this up differently. You know, you should have done this and this and this and said, let Ken take care of Ken's life. If Ken wants help, Ken will ask for help, right? Let people follow their own inner guidance, whether it's ego or spirit is irrelevant. You stay in your, well, you know, Byron Katie would definitely say this, mind your own business, right? You guys know her, right? Mind your own business. If people do not ask for advice, don't give it. Everybody always wants to help. Everybody always has a better idea than you, so they think, right? Don't be that person. If it's somebody else's area, always say you have to know your area of authority and somebody else's area of authority, right? If this is their area of authority, let them handle it their way. They don't need to do it your way. Okay, so that's the list that she has. And again, she recommends for each of them that the best approach is to keep your mouth shut. She actually says, listen quietly without chiming in. She says it a little more gently, right? Keep your mouth shut and then watch your own desire to jump into it, right? In fact, again, she says what I just said. The funny thing is, the less you say in most conversations, the nicer you'll actually seem to others, right? The last thing, no, there's a couple more things here. No, I think this is the last thing. It's just long. The last thing she talks about here, she says it's always a slippery slope when you start talking about yourself. Which is really interesting because that's what we think conversations are about. You talk about yourself and then I talk about myself. And then you talk about yourself and then I talk about myself. But when I'm talking about myself in that way, who am I presenting myself as most likely? The ego, the false self. I'm reinforcing over and over again that I am the false self. And one of the things that we're looking at here in the retreat, because we're using out loud communication to help awaken us, one of the things that we're looking at is that whenever we speak, whatever we speak, we give more power to, right? And so if I am speaking, and we do this almost every time we open our mouths, if I am speaking about me, I, my stories, my opinions, my pains, my dreams, I'm giving more power to myself as the false self. So people ask, well, what in the world can you talk about? Well, again, you're probably going to talk less, right? You really are. I mean, that's just a bottom line. You're going to talk less. But you can still talk about, there's always things that are present to talk about. For example, Ken and I only exchanged a couple of sentences, but we could have been talking about how to set this up if we were doing it together. If you're taking a walk with somebody, you can be talking, oh, look at that deer, oh, look at that, right? There are things to talk about without talking about me. You see? It's when you talk about me that you reinforce the false self. And again, what you really have to ask yourself is, what do I really want? If you really recognize that desire to awaken to your truth, you will start cutting out me talk. Now, probably you'll hear yourself first. You know, you'll hear yourself telling a story. You'll realize what you're doing. So you'll want to just cut it short. Just kind of back out of that as quickly as possible, right? There's no need to spend all of your time talking about me. In fact, if you think about it, it's pretty self-centered. Right? And probably nobody else cares as much about you as you do anyway. And that's it. That's the Gina Lake teaching. So we went through that pretty quickly, but that was kind of my goal tonight. Again, does anybody in the sanctuary have any questions about what we just went over? Let me just review it really quickly, because I did go over it so quickly. We talked about the fact that when you get into ego, to shift into presence, stop what you're doing, take a deep breath, notice your surroundings, notice your body, notice what's noticing, and then notice the experience of presence. And then continue with what you're doing if it fits. If you notice you were totally an ego and you need to drop what you were doing, then drop it. And then the other thing we talked about is how egos activate egos. And really the best thing that we can do is just stay silent and watch our desire to be activated. Watch our desire to join in. By the way, she does also say that when you choose to be present, just like egos activate other egos, presence can also activate presence in those who are ready. So if you choose to remain present, you may help others remain present as well. So are there any questions? No, Ken says. All right. So then I'm going to go ahead and just give you guys your assignment for next week. So homework assignment A. You're going to do workbook lessons 278 to 284. And, of course, you'll practice your daily awareness, watching awareness, loving consciousness, or abandon release meditation for 20 to 40 minutes each day. And, of course, practice the loving all method. And then homework assignment B, we're just going to read the rest of NTI 1 Corinthians, which is NTI 1 Corinthians chapters 9 to 16, pages 297 to 307. And then as far as the Gentle Healing Group goes, next week we'll be back at our normal schedule, which means, of course, that we'll meet at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. We will meet for 2 hours, and in the first 45 minutes, I will be ready to listen to your sharings, okay?
Would you just want to mention when we open back up after the retreat?
Sure. Jacqueline is just asking me to remind everybody when the sanctuary opens again, because, of course, it's closed this week for the retreat. We will open on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 2 p.m. Pacific, right? Yep, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific with the Mighty Companions. And then also, we have our movie discussion group this coming Sunday, and the movie is Revolver. So if you haven't had a chance to watch Revolver yet, please watch that, and then we'll get together and discuss that at 8 p.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we'll be followed at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with a satsang with Craig Holiday. Okay? Okay, you guys get to speak again. When I get say three, you're going to say goodnight. Are you ready?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Goodnight.
All right, goodnight, y'all. Thank you for coming.